Good morning. As we reported just a few moments ago, the Democrats have lost two incumbents. Kent Conrad of North Dakota expected not to seek re-election, and we expect a similar announcement from Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman, who last won in 2006 as an independent, although he caucuses, they say, as they say, with the Democrats.
And flirts with the Republicans.
Exactly. But he's expected to announce that he will not seek re-election. The political climate in Connecticut apparently not favorable enough for Lieberman to try it for another time. Colin McEnroe joins us once again, host of the Colin McEnroe Show on WNPR, Connecticut Public Radio. Good morning, Colin.
You know, he doesn't just always flirt with the Republicans. He famously made out with President Bush, which caused him a great deal of trouble here in Connecticut.
And you've got the pictures, don't you, there, Mr. McEnroe?
We do.
Yeah. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, also with us. Todd, good morning.
Hi. Good morning, John.
Colin, is this, you know, he did the math and he just doesn't want to go there, or is he getting tired, huh?
Well, it might be a little of both, but it's probably more of the former than it is the latter. There really just was not a clear path to victory this time. There just wasn't even a mechanism for him to begin an effective campaign. There was no way to seek a Democratic nomination. And I think, you know, that the Republicans get a little bit more motivated, they gave him an awful lot of votes in 2006. There was sort of a tacit understanding that people would vote for him instead of for the Republicans candidate in that election. This time around, you know, the Tea Party's got everybody fired up, and Linda McMahon just ran a pretty spirited and expensive campaign. It just doesn't seem like the actual Republican nominee would lie down and take it the way that they did in 2006.
You know, Colin, I'm stunned at the number of Connecticut residents who are now putting out blogs and articles about Joe Lieberman. And, you know, one article in Slate.com mentioned the peculiar Connecticut liberal cocktail party game called "I Hated Joe Lieberman Before You Hated Joe Lieberman." One thing you can say for him is that he took strong positions and they call up strong emotions.
Yeah, and I think, you know, he is such a complicated political figure. And so, you know, in some ways, you know, women would think that they could trust him because he had a, you know, reasonably good reproductive rights position. But then, you know, with somebody like Alito, he wasn't cooperative on the whole issue of cloture. Gays would think that they could trust him because of his position on Don't Ask, Don't Tell and other things like that. But he was a vote for the Defense of Marriage Act, and on and on and on. You know, it's every time you thought you knew what his position was about something, you could find some evidence that he had exactly the opposite position.
And so that complexity denied him ultimately a constituency, it sounds like, down there in Washington as well as up in Connecticut. Todd Zwillick, what's the future for Joe Lieberman? Does he become a lobbyist? Does he stay in the Beltway where he's got so many enemies, as Celeste suggests? Or does he become part of the Palin administration in some future planetary moment in history?
Joe Lieberman has shown proclivities to the right, but he's never shown a proclivity to go that far right for Sarah Palin. Lobbyist, sure, it's a popular thing for senators to do. Joe Lieberman is powerful, chairman of the Homeland Security Committee, which makes him on the inside of huge money politics. I don't know if he has any plans to lobby in that regard, but you use the word enemies, John, and Joe Lieberman sure earned them. You know, Celeste, those blogs that you see in Connecticut of people claiming that they hated Joe Lieberman first, there are a lot of people who believe, rightly or wrongly, that Joe Lieberman is single-handedly responsible for killing the public option in healthcare. Remember the public option?
Yeah.
What a big deal that was to liberal Democrats. People believe that Joe Lieberman killed it.
Well, and he's made it the fact that he's the 60th vote. You never lets anybody forget that.
Never does, and played that card over and over. And some say played it to great effect. Some say used it for revenge. There's a thread of thought amongst liberals that Joe Lieberman opposed Harry Reid and opposed the Democrats and Barack Obama on health care partly out of spite. His need to go independent and win that Democratic nomination 6 years ago earned him so many enemies
caucus. You can even go back farther than that. I mean, I remember, Colin McEnroe, when Joe Lieberman emerged as this kind of sanctimonious conscience of Bill Clinton during the impeachment. Remind us of that story.
Yeah, you can go. First of all, it was preceded in the 90s by this kind of Sherman's March through American culture that he and Bill Bennett did, where they were calling for the restoration of virtue and decency on the public airwaves. Joe Lieberman used to go on the Don Imus show and
right.
call for the restoration of decency and virtue on the public airwaves and not really see any real weird dysfunction even in that relationship. He and Bennett used to give out these things called the Silver Sewer Awards to, like, horrible, scabrous programming, like Married with Children. We all know the damage that the Bundy family did to the American fiber. But anyway, yeah, then in 1998, he was the guy who really stood up on the floor and attacked Clinton, the first Democrat to really kind of attack Clinton around the Lewinsky scandal.
And it was his ticket to be Al Gore's running mate, but who would have thought that in some sense that was the pinnacle of the Lieberman era, the Lieberman career. He will announce his decision not to seek re-election in the state of Connecticut. Colin McEnroe, host of the Colin McEnroe Show on WNPR, Connecticut Public Radio. Thanks from Hartford. And
Todd
Zwillick, thanks to you.
Sure thing, John.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.